What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, those Boston Red Sox, they are on fire right now. This team cannot be stopped. They are currently on an 8-game winning streak. They've pretty much just been winning this entire second half of the season, which is crazy because they started off the season terribly. I mean, they were so bad that they ended up firing their manager. And they didn't have a quick turnaround after they fired their manager. But damn, this second half of the season, they are on fire and looking like a really legit squad right now. So let's get into the week of baseball beginning on Monday between the St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Yankees. The Cardinals got the win 13-7, but the big story was Alec Burleson had 3 home runs in this game and 6 RBI. Yeah, I'll say it again, 3 home runs. He's actually just been having a phenomenal year overall, but to have 3 home runs in a game, that's a big deal, and got to highlight that for sure. Then we had the Chicago Cubs take on the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they got the win 10-5, and this Cubs team just was lighting the Dodgers up. Suzuki had a home run. Alcantara had a home run. Kelly and Bush, everybody was basically getting home runs against the Dodgers. It's not been a good week for the Dodgers, as a matter of fact. We're going to be talking about a lot of losing from the Dodgers this week, so I'm looking forward to talking about the Dodgers this week for once. So that was a good win by the Cubs over the Dodgers. Then on Tuesday, was just talking about the Boston Red Sox. They got the win over the Chicago White Sox, 14-2. They had 4 home runs in this game. And when I say they, I mean the Boston Red Sox had 4 home runs in this game. Durbin actually had a grand slam in this game. And then Abreu had 2 of the home runs in this game. So it was just the Red Sox, like I said, they are just on fire. They cannot be stopped offensively. And, you know, Sonny Gray has been having a phenomenal year overall. We're going to talk about him in a later game this week. But, I mean, he's been their most consistent dude. And now he's finally getting the run support. So this Red Sox team looking really damn good at the right time of the season. Once again, like I said, we were going to talk about the Dodgers losing a lot this week. They lost to the Cubs 5-1 on Tuesday. That is their 5th loss in a row. And Tarek Skubal made his debut for the team. Not a terrible debut. He did have a couple earned runs, but he had 6 strikeouts. And I mean, come on. You can't ask him to go out and do anything better other than get the win, but that's not just on him. I mean, this has been a terrible week for the Dodgers, as I reiterate. But PCA, this guy is having such a great year. He went 2-for-4 with an RBI in this one. And then Dansby Swanson, another one who's having a phenomenal year, 3-for-4 with a home run and an RBI. And then Nico Horner, who's been on fire the second half of the season. He's actually been very consistent all season, but he's been knocking them out at the park the last couple of weeks for sure, and he had a home run in this one. Then also on Tuesday, we get to talk about the Houston Astros again. They slaughtered the Toronto Blue Jays 7-2, and we haven't talked about him a lot this year, but Jose Altuve had a solid game. He went 3-for-4 with 2 RBI in this one. Then also on Tuesday night, the Tampa Bay Rays took down the Colorado Rockies in the 11th inning, 9-7. This was actually Hicks' first game with the Tampa Bay Rays. He just got traded to them earlier in the week. His first game with them, gets right in there and hits a grand slam to tie things up. And then Junior Caminero ultimately had the game-winning single in the 11th inning for the Tampa Bay Rays in this one. Then on Wednesday, the Dodgers lost again. They lost their 6th game in a row to the Chicago Cubs, 7-6. PCA had yet another phenomenal game, 2 home runs in this one with 4 RBI. I mean, real talk. Talk about a dude who has been on fire. This second half of the season, PCA has just been crushing him out of the park. And like I keep saying, every time the Cubs have been down, he keeps his head up. And he keeps saying, you know, we are a team that is just ready to overcome this, and they always do. But he had 2 home runs in this one and 4 RBI. Shohei Ohtani also had 2 home runs in this one with 3 RBI. And then Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson also made some big hits in this one for the Chicago Cubs to get the win over the Dodgers. And then also on Wednesday, the Boston Red Sox got another win over the Chicago White Sox, 4-0. This was their 7th win in a row. Sonny Gray was just talking about him. He went 6 innings pitched in this one with 8 strikeouts. So the guy has been money, and now he is getting that run support. And Abreu had another home run in this one. So talk about a guy being on fire. Abreu has been on fire the last month-ish of baseball, but this is a crazy turnaround to watch from this Boston Red Sox team. Then on Thursday, the Boston Red Sox got another win. They got their eighth win in a row over the White Sox. This one went 13 innings. In the ninth, they needed Abreu again. He did not hit a home run, but he did have a hit that ended up tying the game in the ninth inning. They had to go all the way to the 13th inning, in which Durbin would end up hitting the game-winning single to just take this one for the Red Sox. I will say, on the White Sox side of things, Needroth, he had two home runs in this one. And by the way, he was actually traded from the Red Sox last year in that trade for oh my God, the pitcher who's on the injured list right now. Jesus Christ, I can't remember his fucking name right now, but basically he was involved in last year's trade, and he just had two home runs against his ex-team. So whoop, there it is. But unfortunately, his team lost in the 13th inning. Then also yesterday, another team that is on fire, and this is a team you don't want to get on fire. That is the Atlanta Braves. They got a win over the Miami Marlins 11-3, and Ronald Acuña Jr., you know, he has not had his typical year. Well, it looks like he is back and ready to go. He hit two home runs in this one with three RBI, and then Olsen continues his amazing year with another home run himself. But I'm looking at this Braves team, and like I keep saying, they're widening the gap between them and the Phillies, so they should easily win this division, I feel like, unless they have some type of epic collapse, which is possible. But still, I mean, Acuña is on fire right now. I mean, he has been the only dude, basically, for this team that really hasn't done anything, and now here he comes, full force. So you look at this Braves team, and they are on a winning streak themselves. They have been playing just about as well as the Red Sox have over the last month of baseball. So it's kind of looking like the Braves are back. And then also yesterday, the Chicago Cubs took down the Toronto Blue Jays in the 11th inning, 3-2. This one was a crazy one where Alex Bregman actually tied it up in the ninth inning with a home run, and he just smashed it out of the park. And it's good for him because, I mean, he's had a quiet season for Bregman's standards. But the last couple of weeks, he's really just been making some quality hits, having some quality starts, and really making some big plays for this team, and that one is a big one. And then, of course, PCA again. You keep talking about this dude every single game, and that's because he is just having a phenomenal year. He actually ended up stealing a base in the 11th inning to set him up into scoring position, and then there would ultimately be a throwing error in which PCA would end up scoring, and the Cubs would end up going on to win. And this was a crazy one, too, because on the opposite side of the field here with the Blue Jays, Dylan Cease, he has been having an outstanding year for pitching standards. He went 7 innings pitched in this one with 10 strikeouts. I mean, you could not have a much more perfect game until they took him out. Once they took him out, then the Cubs started to get the hits, and then it was all Cubs after that. So sucks for Cease, because that's kind of the story of Dylan Cease's career, is he will strike him out, he will knock him out, and you cannot score on him. But once you take his ass out of the game, boom, team is done. So sucks for him, but it's been a phenomenal week of baseball for the Chicago Cubs and for the Boston Red Sox and for the Atlanta Braves as well. Just those three teams are dominating on all levels right now. All right, so like I said, we got us some NFL training camp storylines. I mean, this season of football has officially begun because last night, the Hall of Fame game kicked off the season. Now, the Hall of Fame game is always probably the most boring game you're ever going to watch because it's basically the third stringers going up against each other. But hey, it is the start of football season because next week is when we really get started because that's when all the preseason games get going. All the teams are going to be in rotation and we can get started on all our prognostications and all of our excitement. And just get ready for the upcoming 2026 season. So, like I said, we had the Hall of Fame game last night. It was between the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals. Actually, high scoring, back and forth affair. The Panthers got the win, 33-30. Their backup quarterback, King, ended up having three touchdowns, two of them passing, one of them rushing. And then on the opposite side here for the Arizona Cardinals, Carson Beck made his debut. You know, he's been lighting it up in the college ranks for the last, 4 or 5 years now. So here he is, and he's just looking to make the roster, basically. He went 15 for 19, though, had a very solid game, very solid outing, had a touchdown as well. So, like I said, Hall of Fame game, usually boring because it's always like the third stringers coming out there to play. But hey, it is officially, legitimately football season, y'all. So let's talk about a few other topics as well going on in the NFL right now. Some running backs got paid this week, and good for them, because, you know, over the years, the running backs have just been getting disrespected. And, you know, of course, they don't get paid as highly as the quarterbacks do. But, I mean, there's a lot of guys in this league who put it all out there, who are difference makers for their team. And it is nice to see three deserving guys get paid this week. So first, we saw Bijan Robinson of the Atlanta Falcons and also former Texas Longhorn, Hook'em Horns motherfucker. We saw him get paid. And real talk, Bijan Robinson, probably the most talented running back in the league right now. He's probably, the way I look at Bijan is you better get used to him running all over the league. And what sucks for him is he's in Atlanta, so I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up getting traded at some point. But congratulations for him on getting the extension, just because he is a solid running back. I feel like he's going to be one of the best running backs in the league that we have for the coming years, and he definitely deserved that. And for however long he ends up staying in Atlanta, they most certainly are getting one of the most talented players in the league. And then, of course, Jahmyr Gibbs, with the Detroit Lions. He's been actually doing a, quote, hold-in so far with training camp, meaning he's been going to training camp, but he has not been participating in practice. And it's because he's been trying to get a new contract. And basically, 2 days after Bijan got his record-breaking contract, Gibbs ended up breaking that record, and he's the highest paid running back in the league. Another deserving guy, because, I mean, real talk, the Lions offense has been very solid over the last couple of seasons, and Gibbs has ultimately been one of the main reasons why. So it's definitely deserving for him. But once again, he's kind of in the same situation that Bijan is in. It's sorry, you're in Detroit, so good luck with that. And then the last guy who got an extension this week was Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, he's been one of the most consistent running backs in the league for, like, what, the last five-ish years? Other than the injuries, and sorry, you can't fault these guys for the injuries. That's just the name of the game. But Jonathan Taylor, you put that dude out there, he is the difference maker for this Colts team. When he's injured, this Colts team sucks. And when he's playing at a high level, this Colts team is playing pretty well. So he absolutely deserved that extension. And, you know, I feel like all three of these guys are going to be running all over the league all season long. Then another NFL training camp storyline that we have right now are we have a few quarterback battles going on during training camp. Three specifically. One I've already discussed a couple of weeks ago. It's with the Cleveland Browns between Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson. They haven't really said who's leading the pack right now. I already put my 2 cents in on this. I say you go all in on Shedeur. Yes, I know you're paying Deshaun Watson a whole lot of money, but you know what? You've been paying this stupid bum a whole lot of money since the day you traded for this idiot, and he hasn't done shit for y'all. You might as well just keep paying this bum just to sit on the fucking bench, because I kind of feel like he's a waste of time. I feel like with Shedeur, you at least get to see what the future holds. Is he going to be a good, decent quarterback? Is he coachable? Is he just going to be your dude? Or trade his ass away for somebody who actually wants him? That's kind of the way I look at it. I say get rid of don't even bother with Watson and just go all in on Shedeur. But we don't know what's going to happen with that quarterback battle currently right now. Second quarterback battle we have is with the Minnesota Vikings between Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy. It's looking like Murray is leading the pack right now. I kind of felt like he was going to. I personally have always felt like J.J. McCarthy was a bust pick for the Vikings. I didn't really think he was that great coming out of college. I felt like he was that quarterback who was just on a really good team. Don't get me wrong, I think he played very well in college, but he had a lot of great players surrounding him, and I just didn't think he was going to come into the NFL and be a difference maker type of quarterback. I felt like he needed to be a system quarterback, meaning he needs all the right pieces surrounding him, and I don't really think the Vikings have that. Kyler Murray, on the other hand, he is a decent quarterback. I don't know you know, he's kind of fallen off over the last couple of seasons, but that could just be because of where he played. He did battle through some injuries, and he's been playing for the Cardinals. It's not like they're known for being one of the best teams in the league, so I kind of feel like this is a nice new beginning for Kyler, and if he fails here, then I we know what he is, a bust. But I would personally, I'd lean toward Kyler if I'm the Vikings, because I feel like McCarthy, he's already kind of shown he ain't that good. I never really thought he was that good. And I kind of feel like with Murray, you're at least getting a dude who's played over the last couple of seasons. I just think he's the better quarterback, just hands down. He also can move. And while McCarthy can move too, I just think Murray is the better option between the two of them. Like I just said, I think McCarthy's a bust. And I never was in on that dude, no matter who was drafting him, really. But I lean toward Murray, and it looks like the Vikings right now are leaning towards Kyler Murray in that matchup. And then the last quarterback matchup we have right now is with the Atlanta Falcons between Michael Penix Jr., who's actually coming off of an ACL injury. So his is more, we don't really know when he's going to play. It kind of looks like he's going to be missing at least the start of the season, but that's yet to be seen really how much and if he's going to miss it. And then Tua Tagovailoa, he just signed with them in the offseason. And he's actually been battling through a back injury all throughout training camp so far. But it looks like they're leaning towards him to start. This quarterback battle, I don't know what you're going to get from either of these guys. Because I liked Penix Jr. coming out of college, but he is injury prone. He was injury prone in college, and now here he is in the pros, and that's kind of what's already started off as your career, so you don't like to see that. And then to me, I kind of feel like Tua has already shown what Tua is. He's a mediocre quarterback. He's not the worst quarterback in the league, but he is not a difference maker. He's not that dude who where you're like, oh my God, it's the fourth quarter and we're down by 10 and there's like 3:30 left to go. Is he going to drive us back? And I'm not saying he can't do that, but he just has proven he's just very mediocre. And I kind of feel like Tua's career is going to be what it is now. He's just going to be a journeyman who might start and then probably lose his job and then end up backing up a bunch of quarterbacks until he ends up retiring. That's kind of how I see Tua. Penix, I think it's more going to be Tua's going to start the season probably because of the Penix injury, and then they're going to see how bad Tua is, and then Penix Jr. is eventually ultimately going to take back over the starting quarterback position. Because if you ask me, Penix has the much better arm strength, and he's already shown that he has some chemistry with a lot of these Atlanta Falcons players, whereas Tua, like I said, very mid quarterback. All right, then the next NFL training camp storyline I have on deck. Aaron Donald looks like he is coming back. He was officially at Rams practice this week. He is not on the like roster officially. He hasn't officially said he's back. The team hasn't officially said he's back, but if you are at practice, and he's been making his presence known at the training camp facility literally since day one. So to me, all the signals have been showing that Aaron Donald is coming back this year. And I just got to say, as a pure football fan, now I am a Cowboys fan and the Rams are in the NFC. So obviously I don't want to see no Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett on the opposite side of the field of my Dallas Cowboys. But with that being said, as just an all-around football fan, holy shit, this is going to be awesome. If we think we get what we're getting with these two, I mean, Myles Garrett, obviously, in my opinion, is going to go down as one of the greatest defensive players all time, hands down, easily. And if he ends up getting a ring or two with this Rams team, because he's young, you have no idea how much longer we have of Myles Garrett's career. I feel like we've got at least another 5 to 7-ish years. And with that being said, this Rams team is always known for going all in. They look really good. Garrett could end up with a Super Bowl ring or two or three when his career's all said and done. So if he adds some Super Bowl rings to his resume, It's going to be really hard to argue with him being the greatest defensive player of all time. Then you have Aaron Donald, who is easily the greatest defensive tackle of all time. I mean, you can make some arguments for a few other guys along the way, but Aaron Donald's pretty much that dude. And regardless of where you rank these guys in today's league, they are good. And, you know, Aaron Donald took last year off, but he's still kept in shape. And I kind of feel like it's probably beneficial for somebody like Aaron Donald to take a year off and then come back this year. Because for one, it won't be all on him because he's going to have Myles Garrett there. And I kind of think that's what the tempting offer is here, because they definitely have a shot at a Super Bowl with this really good Rams team. But it's looking like Aaron Donald is coming back. Like I said, not completely official yet, but all signals point to Aaron Donald is going to be back in the league this year. And then the final NFL training camp storyline we have for today is, it is Hall of Fame weekend, y'all. The class of 2026 is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. That is tomorrow. The ceremony is tomorrow. You know, we just had the Hall of Fame game yesterday. That's what that was for. And when I was looking over the guys who are getting inducted this year, three of the guys, I would say, are legit all-timers for their team alone, which says a lot. If you are an all-timer, and I mean like when you think of a certain team and you always think of this one player, like for example, the New England Patriots. I think we all, when you think New England Patriots, you immediately think Tom Brady. So if you are that player for that team, that says a lot. And I think there's three guys on here, two for sure. One, you could maybe make a case for a couple other guys, but two for sure, they are the franchise, and I mean all-time franchise players for these squads. So let's begin with, of course, quarterback Drew Brees. He played for the San Diego Chargers and the New Orleans Saints. But to me, he is the all-time Saint. There is no greater New Orleans Saints player to me than Drew Brees. Now, I know you can make a couple arguments for a few other players along the way, but to me, everything changed the day they signed Drew Brees in free agency. And the fact that this team won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees there, as a football fan at the age of 41 years old, when I was a kid, the Saints were the laughingstock of the league. There was never a shot that this team was ever winning the Super Bowl, and Drew Brees signs there. Not only does he win a Super Bowl there, but he literally goes on to be one of the top quarterbacks of all time. When you look at his statistics, he is up there. He is one of the greatest of all time. But to me, I looked at it, I'm like, man, this is not only does he have a Hall of Fame career, but this is probably the greatest New Orleans Saints player you're ever going to see. And that says a lot, because to be the face of a franchise, that says a lot. And Drew Brees, to me, is the face of the New Orleans Saints. Also, great comeback story, too. You know, when before he signed with the Saints, you know, his last season with the Chargers, he knew it was going to be his last season with the Chargers. And on the last game of the season, he obliterates his shoulder, tears his rotator cuff on his throwing shoulder, and it's kind of looking like, is his career over? Only a couple teams wanted him, the Miami Dolphins and the New Orleans Saints. He opted to go with the Saints, and what a career move, because he goes from being a mediocre quarterback to being one of the greatest of all time, to getting inducted to the motherfucking Hall of Fame, to being the face of the New Orleans Saints. What a great fucking story for Drew Brees. Next guy getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver with the Arizona Cardinals, and this is another one. Easily, hands down, this is the face of the Arizona Cardinals franchise. I don't think there is one other player in the history of this franchise you could point to and say, nobody had more of a consistent career. Larry Fitzgerald showed out every single game, every single year. It did not matter how shitty this Cardinals team was. This dude showed up. He never complained. He loved being an Arizona Cardinal, and he is the face of this franchise to me, and one of the greatest playoff runs of all time was when they went to the Super Bowl. Holy shit. Larry Fitzgerald was the key defining player in every single one of those games, including the Super Bowl that they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because, man, I will never forget. Kurt Warner just drops back to pass, finds Larry Fitzgerald up the seam, and he just, boom, takes off. And I'm like, oh, man, this game is over, done with. And it's looking like the Cardinals are finally going to win a Super Bowl. And then, of course, Ben Roethlisberger drives him down the field, and the Pittsburgh Steelers ultimately end up winning because of a great Santonio Holmes catch. But, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, one of the most consistent, all-time amazing wide receivers ever. Absolutely Hall of Fame worthy, but once again, like I said, another face of the franchise, and there is no argument with that one on Larry Fitzgerald. Hands down, greatest Arizona Cardinal of all time. Then we have Luke Kuechly, linebacker of the Carolina Panthers. This is another one where you could be on the fence because they do have a few other guys where you could argue, like, you know, Delhomme, of course, Cam Newton. There's a few guys you could argue, Julius Peppers, of course, another one. But there's a bunch of dudes you could probably argue with about the Panthers. But Luke Kuechly is another one of those consistent dudes. Unfortunately, his career was only cut short due to injury. He would probably still be playing to this day if he didn't get injured so freaking much. But he is just, was the perennial line. I mean, you prototype. Like, you look at linebacker and you say, this is everything I want in a linebacker. Luke Kuechly was that dude. And like I said, just exceptionally consistent and one of the all-time Carolina Panthers. I feel like you can make an argument for him. You know, I might lean towards, like, Julius Peppers over him because, you know, Peppers was a beast as well. But Kuechly, great Carolina Panther, great football player, and absolutely deserving of his Hall of Fame his Hall of Fame induction this weekend. Then another all-time great. Now, I wouldn't say he's an all-time great for his team specifically, but he is easily, hands down, the greatest kicker of all time, and that is Adam Vinatieri. Spent most of his career with the New England Patriots, also with the Indianapolis Colts, but all of his glory came with the New England Patriots. They would not have any of their Super Bowl rings without Adam Vinatieri. He made so many clutch kicks in the regular season, in the postseason, in the rain, in the snow, in the sleet, in the hail, in the sun, in the wind, in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, in any game. You knew if Adam Vinatieri was the last guy standing, you basically needed a prayer. You needed a piece of wind to just get that ball out of the way, but it never happened because he was the most consistent kicker you were ever going to find. So easily, this guy deserved to go into the Hall of Fame, and he is easily the greatest kicker of all time. I don't think there's anybody who did it better than him, anybody who was more clutch than him, and anybody who was more reliable than him. And then the last guy we have getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend. And for me personally, I think I'm most excited about this guy because, you know, there's some of these dudes who don't get their respect. And this is one of them. He was on a fantastic team, but almost everybody forgets about this guy. They remember the quarterback. They remember the wide receiver. They remember a lot of these stacked defenders that they had on this team. But they always forget about one of the most consistent guys, and he had a long-ass wait to get in. But here he finally is in 2026, and that is running back Roger Craig of the San Francisco 49ers. I can't believe he had to wait this long because he was such a huge piece of this Niners team when they went on their 80s run for their Super Bowls, and they were that dynastic team. Like I said, you remember Joe Montana. You remember Jerry Rice. You remember Ronnie Lott. You remember Charles Haley. There were so many endless, amazing players for this squad. Hell, you remember Steve Young, and he was the fucking backup quarterback for a while. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like Roger Craig, always so disrespected, and he'd always get put up for the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I know it's really difficult to vote for some of these players and stuff, and, you know, there's a lot of great players to choose from, but come on, y'all, Roger Craig was an excellent running back, And he just was so consistent. And so I'm very happy for him that he finally is finally getting his due and getting into the Hall of Fame in 2026. So I'm all about this year's class. I mean, I'm always about every class for any Hall of Fame, for baseball, basketball, and football. But this year, it's for football specifically, I was looking at, like, man, Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald easily are, like, the face of their organizations, both going to get statues when it's all said and done, and just were extreme game breakers. And like I said, Kuechly, he was such a huge driving force for this Carolina Panthers defense. And then Vinatieri just being the greatest kicker of all time. And then, of course, Roger Craig. Like I said, one of the most overlooked and so deserving of being here. So congratulations to all five of those guys for getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend. And they absolutely deserve everything they get tomorrow at their induction ceremony. So enjoy the weekend of sports, y'all. And I will talk to you on Monday.